Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumond. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm doing well as well.
Excellent.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
I'm so glad that we're all here together today. I'm also glad that our sponsor today is iMazing, and I'll talk about them soon. Before we get to that, though, we might as well just jump right into the topics, because we have two topics, and what I'm hoping is we actually will be able to get through both of them. We will see. So let's start with iPad Pro, 10.5-inch versus 12.9-inch. And the reason we are heading down this path is because there's a lot of questions. If you already have a 12.9-inch iPad Pro, the first generation, do you need to upgrade to the new model? And if you do need to replace your iPad, is the 12.9-inch the right size, or is the 10.5-inch the right size? And I think we need to sort this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first of all, I think you're either a 12.9-inch type person or you're not. You know, we had the 9.7-inch for years and years and years, and I always thought it was too small and couldn't do the things I wanted to do with it. So the first order, I think there are these people who are in the 12.9-inch camp and say, well, I can't do anything realistically without something that size. Although I admit there are many people who kind of feel it's a little bit unwieldy. It is, with a case attached, it is a rather large device to work with, but the screen payoff is just glorious. So the other issue to consider is that when we get iOS 11, we're going to have a new user interface with a different kind of display and mini thumbnails of our apps and a dock of apps in the control panel. And so one has to think about iOS 11 coming down the road in a few months and what that's going to mean. So as we talked about in the staff meeting, it seems like it's a sensible thing to do to wait until iOS 11 comes out to make a decision. That said, Apple's done a marvelous job of creating desire for these new iPads.
Oh, yes.
Especially with the ProMotion that John Key demoed in his video the other day at the Mac Observer and his unboxing of the new 12-inch.
I'll include a link to that in the show notes so people can find it easily.
Yeah.
My first question is the insides, because I haven't sat down and broken it down. So if I had, say, the 9.7-inch iPad Pro, and I'm looking at maybe the 10-inch, what are the processor differences inside? Like, am I gaining anything? Does it secretly have more memory in it than the old one did? Or,
well, you're definitely getting a faster, more powerful processor, because you're getting the A10X.
Yeah,
and the video horsepower behind the processor is markedly better. And the refresh rate.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
New silicon for the ProMotion at 120 hertz.
Right. So.
Well, yeah. And I know about the new screen, the redraw, and so the lag is less with the pencil and that.
Right. Well, it's more than just the lag is less. The resolution is double without having to replace your Apple Pencil. And that's because when.
Okay.
There's more to it than this, but the simplified version is going from 60 hertz to 120 hertz for the refresh rate. Apple is doubling their sample rate for sensing where the Apple Pencil is. So they're doubling the resolution of the pencil. So your Apple Pencil not only has less lag as you're drawing lines,
more accuracy.
It's more accuracy because you're getting double the data points for every place it lands on the screen.
Okay.
The thing to remember is you can't really see this scrolling motion on any internet or TV device because they're all 60 hertz. So you got to go into the Apple Store and actually see it for yourself.
So it's a an actual worthwhile update, because we got the new iPad, you know, a couple months ago or whatever it was, and that didn't seem like a big update to me.
No, when the new iPad came out, that now that we see the other pieces, that was Apple setting up their new product line. The entry level is called iPad, and then you have your iPad Pro, and you have two sizes of that.
Okay. And,
yeah.
I think that March iPad was geared towards education, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I just haven't, definitely. I haven't seen a breakdown of...
So, yeah. So
the 9.7 and the 10, so I wanted...
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah, and the graphics performance was what basically handicapped the iPad 3 so early in its lifespan.
Because, yeah, that's not a problem now.
Because it was terrible. So I always am sort of like keeping an eye out for that. So I wanted to know, that was one of the reasons I was curious if this was an actual update or if it was just a little bit of a nudge. But it sounds like it's a pretty solid update.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was an iPad Air camp person for people who haven't been listening to John and I argue on this show as long as we've been arguing on this show. I never had a problem with the amount of real estate that I had on an iPad Air, or the Air 2, like that form factor. I really like it. So if I were to get a new one, we'll see how that goes. But if I were to get a new one, I would be very interested in the 10-inch Pro, because that's my size. It fits in my purse. I can carry it around with me easily if I want to. It doesn't take a ton of additional space in a backpack. Even in a case, it's not a monster device to carry around. It's not particularly unwieldy. Those are things I look for when I'm looking at what I want in my iPad, because I've carried a bunch of them around, like basically all of them in some form or another I've carried around in some way. So I was very curious about what they were going to do to revise the Baby Pro, and I'm glad to see that it's a significant update, because I know that's one thing that people have sort of dinged Apple for in the past, is like, this isn't really an update, you know, and we heard a lot of static about that when the iPad itself, the non-Pro, was updated.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, when we got strategy,
that
update,
that's what it said. That's what people were saying, was like, this isn't an update. It doesn't count. It's not even as powerful as the iPad it replaces. Grumpy, grumpy, grumpy. So I'm glad to see, A, that this is a big update, and B, that there's still a device that sort of fits me. It seems like Apple keeps making them bigger, physically larger devices, and I'm glad to see that they've sort of kept one kind of in the within the specs that is a device that I like to use.
One strategy, Kelly, is to, if you have a spouse, to leapfrog with each other. So you might have a spouse who likes the 10.5, and then you buy a new iPad for the other person half as often. And so you have updates more frequent, and you get to optimize the size. Because if your husband, say, or your spouse is using a 12.5, 12.9, then it's in the house. You have access to it for research or review. Mm-hmm. But it's not formally yours, and that can work out.
I did use one. I did. I spent some time with one. Only a little.
All right.
No, with an iPad, no. If it was a phone, I would say absolutely, because I feel like a phone is a much more deeply personal device. I would have a lot less problem handing my iPad over to somebody to use for a minute than my phone.
All right.
That's just me.
All right. Fair enough.
I think it's...
Now we know. Kelly doesn't let her husband touch her phone.
Oh, I do. But it's a short list, and it's Mr. Kelly, and
there you go.
Like, unequivocally. Like, yeah, like, if I was sitting somewhere with you guys and one of you was having some sort of tragedy and needed my phone, I would hand it to you, because you guys are you. And, like,
you,
yeah, in the world, no.
Yeah, we'd be,
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, even if I do not have my phone in my hand or in my pocket, I will be able to reach it at all times and by extension reach you. So the thing I think about See, that's a good idea, John, until the upgrade track goes wrong. But I spent some time with a 12.9 device, and maybe it's just because I'm too old school, and I'm an old school person. I'm super retro. I like, you know, older stuff, but I had a really hard time with that screen. You know, first of all, without a case on it, I was terrified to even like pick it up, you know, and carry it into the other room to sit down and read on it or whatever, because it just seemed so big, and it seemed like it was ready to leap from my hands at any moment because it was much bigger and heavier than what I had.
You have to have firm grip on it. If you bump on a doorknob or something, it's on the floor.
Yeah. So that was one thing. So, you know, it's already unwieldy, and then you have to give it a case, you know, which isn't doing it any favors if you're worried about the size of the device. But then using it felt much more like an event. Using that, and I don't know if it's just because this is the size screen that I carry around all the time because I have a 13-inch MacBook, but, well, I guess it's a MacBook Pro. I don't want to get mail later. The thing about it is that I feel like I have to be sitting down to use my iPad when I have the 12-inch. And, like, with my Air, I don't think twice. Like, I'll do that on my iPad. I open it up and it was amazing because once I had the larger iPad, it was much more of an event to like sit down with it and use it. And I don't have that kind of hurdle with the Air that I have. Like, I'm just going to get out my iPad. So, and I don't know if it's, like I said, I don't know if it's because I'm trained that my laptop screen is that size, and so like it's a whole thing, or if it's just that somewhere in between those two dimensions is the hurdle that I have. But I'm excited about them. I think this is always my advice though, if you're looking at buying one, is buy the most you can afford now, because remember, Apple's march forward is pretty relentless, and you're only going to get a certain amount of time out of what you have before apps are no longer available for the highest version of iOS that your device will run. And then once that happens and updates become unavailable to you and functionality starts to become limited, you're going to have to start looking at a new device anyway. So like everybody who bought a 5C and really liked that their iPhone was a color this fall, those people are getting left behind.
Yep, that's true.
So that's a thing to consider. I believe the line is Touch ID. I don't think anything that doesn't have Touch ID is going to be eligible in phones anyway, is going to be eligible for iOS 11 this year. So it's a thing to think about. So now is the time to start considering that, you know, go get the mayonnaise jar and write new iPad or new iPhone on the side and start putting pennies in it. I told you I was old school. And I feel like there's definitely a thing to consider, but if it were me and I were standing in a store as a regular person, like this is the advice I've given my family who all have called me and had this conversation. You have to be technologically honest with yourself, but I think that you probably should go with the 9.7 Pro unless you really don't have a need for any of the stuff, or not the 9.7, the smaller iPad Pro. 10 and a half. Unless you really have a need for the bigger screen, or you really don't have a need for any of the additional stuff that is afforded to you.
Kelly, that said, if you're a fan of the 12.9, I think it would be a mistake to go to the 10.5 for its features.
No, because, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, if you like the larger one, get the larger one. But if you're at a point now where maybe you're just now getting into the market, I don't think you need to wait for iOS 11 for that to be a reality for you, because you'll be able to get everything sort of set up and moved in. You know, if something happens and you win like a 4th of July lottery and it's a new iPad, like be excited. Like I don't think you need to wait for 11 for this to be an infinitely useful device to you right now.
All right, so we need to talk about iMazing, but I'm going to get the last word because it's my show, so I can do that. Here's my take. If you are currently using an iPad Air or other 9.7-inch screen size iPad, and you're ready to upgrade to a new model, and you're pleased with that size screen, get the 10.5-inch iPad Pro. If you need the larger screen because you really, really need split screen for all the stuff you're doing, you're an artist and you want a bigger display, then go with the 12.9 inch model. If you currently have a 12.9 inch iPad Pro and you're thinking about upgrading, if the thing that would get me to upgrade would be wanting the True Tone display plus the higher mm-hmm. resolution for the Apple Pencil coupled with the ProMotion, so the higher video quality all the way around. Mm-hmm. And if those are things that you don't think are as important for you today, then your 12.9 inch iPad Pro that you already own is probably still fine to continue using.
That's great advice. I agree with all of that. That's perfect, Jeff.
Awesome.
So if you want it to be a laptop, if you're trying to make your iPad into a laptop, buy the one that's the laptop size screen.
There you go. All right. And hey, our sponsor, iMazing. I am so glad they're our sponsor this week, especially considering we've just been sitting here talking about iPads, because iMazing is a fantastic utility for your Mac and your Windows machine, if that's the way you swing, that lets you back up your iOS devices and lets you manage the content that's on those devices. One of the things that I love is that if you are reading content in iBooks on your iPhone or iPad, and you want an easy way to manage the various ebook formats that you're storing on your device, this lets you do that. So you can actually manage what's going on and off of your iPad for your ebooks and PDF reading, and then you can organize that content on your device. I think that's just totally rocking. And I know I've said it every day this week so far, but I'm saying it again because it's such an important thing now that people are beta testing iOS 11. iMazing is iOS 11 ready. And if you're running the betas, this is a great way to back up everything that you have before you make the jump into the beta. So if something goes horribly wrong, you have a solid backup to roll back to. So here's the deal. Go check out iMazing. It's at the iMazing website. So that's iMazing.com/TDO. You can download a free trial and use it to your heart's content. See if it's going to do what you want when you're ready to buy it, because you're going to be ready to buy it. Then just use that link, iMazing.com/TDO, and you get 20% off the purchase price. That discount is good for individual licenses or your family licenses as well. So if you're a family and you want iMazing on multiple computers, this is a really great way to save some money. And thank you, iMazing, for being our sponsor today. All right. So we're like really close to out of time. But John, before we go, you have been looking closely at the iMac Pro and how this fits in with the Mac Pro. And can fill everyone in on what we were talking about earlier.
Well, my emerging thesis is that Apple has been convinced the technical, creative professionals, the engineers, scientists, researchers, architects, they all weighed in on Apple for the last 6 months. Apple has seen the light. They're going to go with some really serious pro equipment in the class of kind of machines that we have not seen before and which ordinary consumers are not going to be able to afford unless they're exceptionally well off. So remember Steve Jobs' famous little rectangle, the 2x2? Mm-hmm. You had the consumer and the pro, you had the iMac and you had the Mac Pro, and then you had the iBook and then you had the PowerBook. Mm-hmm. And even if it was the, you know, so-called pro class machine, you could go out and buy a PowerMac G4, or you could go out and buy a PowerBook, which became MacBooks. But now we're talking about machines that are in the $5,000 to $10,000 range, the iMac Pro, and probably the Mac Pro will be even more expensive. And so Apple is now treating their business as catering to professionals who have business money to spend, for whom time is money, and their corporation or their government agency or their university is going to be buying this equipment for serious research, computation, simulations, design, and so on. And so these are machines that are going to be in that price range where we're just simply not going to be able to think about affording them as technical professionals ourselves. And we shouldn't whine about that. We should congratulate Apple and say they're in the big leagues now. We begged them for pro equipment. Now they're going to give us pro equipment with Xeons and massive memory and the latest technology. So hooray for Apple. Thanks. And we shouldn't whine too much that they're beyond our financial reach.
I'm excited. I haven't seen in ages. Like, I've heard is basically since the cheese grater 50-pound Mac Tower model came out and everybody went, it's heavy and sort of ugly. Like, since then, people have sort of been hating on the Pro and like, why don't we have Pro equipment? Why isn't there an update? Why isn't it better? And then Apple came out with the little Droid Mac Pro and nobody liked that any better. And since then, like, you know, it just seems like this argument's been going on for so long. Like, I have a really hard time taking anybody seriously who says Apple finally came out with Pro equipment and it was stupid because now I can't afford one because I can either buy a computer or a car. Well, guess what? That was always the case when Apple took Pro hardware seriously. That was always the case. Do I buy a computer or a Kia? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Like, that's still the case. So I'm excited about it because now that people have begged and begged and begged, and now Apple's going to give it to them, what is it you needed to do that you needed this equipment for? Because I can't wait to see that. Like, this is a tool to do a job, to perform a task, to create a thing, whatever it is. So I want to know what those things are going to be now that Apple is enabling you to do whatever it is that you want to do. What are you going to do?
I think there were historical bragging rights. People like to say, well, you know, I have the biggest and fastest Mac, but now they're not going to be able to afford it anymore. And they're going to be greatly annoyed because they won't be the big man on campus anymore.
Well, I totally get why people will be frustrated with the pricing on this computer because it's a professional computer and it costs what a professional computer costs. And this isn't an Apple tax thing. Jeff Butts did a really great rundown of costs today. I'll make sure there's a link to that piece in the show notes. And it turns out that the estimates for what people are going to pay on a high-end, totally loaded iMac Pro, it's in line with what you're going to pay for a comparable machine from a PC vendor, like Dell or HP. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Apple is charging a premium for this computer. It's just what this class of computer costs. So, yeah, I'm not going to be buying one, but I'm also a laptop person. So I was outclassed on this one, not only by price, but also by function. It's the wrong form factor for me.
And I can't wait to not feel like the only person in the club of Apple made this thing and it's beautiful and it's amazing and I'm glad that it's out there and it is absolutely not for me and I'm not mad about it.
No, I'm excited about this computer.
Good thinking.
I've been there forever. Like, I saw the MacBook Air and went, that machine is amazing. That is so not the machine for me. But I'm really excited about it existing. And I know a lot of people who are going to be super pumped about it. And from the minute Steve Jobs pulled that out of the manila envelope on stage, like, I feel like I've been the only member of that club. That machine is an amazing device. It's not for me. And that doesn't mean I can't be excited about it, but it's, you know, it's not going to be for me. So like I said, I can't wait to see what the new one looks like and what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with you, Kelly.
Yep.
So I'm excited to not be the only member of my little club anymore.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how people use the iMac Pro. And now that we know what it's going to be, I'm very excited to see what the Mac Pro will turn out to be because it's going to be more than what the iMac Pro is.
And which is already giving Pro, people palpitations. Well,
there's $1,000 for the display to play with there. I mean, you subtract $1,000 for the display or maybe an $800 OEM price or something. So the Mac Pro can be closer in price to the iMac Pro because it doesn't have that display built in. But it's still going to be more expensive, I think.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's okay because that's what happens when you look at this class of machine. So
that's what serious computing horsepower is going to cost you. It doesn't matter where you get it.
There you go.
And all the guys at Lawrence Livermore and Oak Ridge National Lab are rejoicing, going, wow, we're standing in line.
Finally. Yeah.
Finally. And you guys are making it so hard for me to end the show, so I'm just going to do that. The show is over.
Okay.
No, wait. I ended up by saying, oh, gosh, we're out of time. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
Aw. And iMazing, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, amazing.com. Wow, that almost didn't come out right. iMazing.com/TDO. Diction is important. iMazing.com/TDO. Pick up your copy of iMazing for Mac or Windows, and it's a great utility for managing the content on your iOS devices as well as backing them up. Get that 20% discount. iMazing.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.